Acts chapter number 21. Acts chapter 21. It seems like Acts chapter 27 and 28, which I'm so anxious to get, keep moving further back in the Bible. It seems that way. But the Lord has always given us something if we'll look for it. Let's read down through here first, and we'll come back and make some mention as we look at this basically verse by verse. Last week, we followed the Apostle Paul. He's on his way to Jerusalem. We find that they came unto Caesarea in verse number 8, and there they spent some time with Philip the evangelist. The Bible said that they stayed there many days, the Bible said, and when you find good fellowship, you better take advantage of it. And it's not available every day. And so the Apostle Paul and them stayed there for many days, the Bible said. And the Bible said, in verse number 10, we pick up our text, and it says, "And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle." Now, relax, men. That's an old English word and a present German word for belt. So don't let that bother you that Paul had a girdle. Amen. When he was come down unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his hands and feet and said, "Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "What meaneth ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, 'The will of the Lord be done.' And after those days, we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem. There went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one Mason of Cyprus, an old disciple, with whom we should lodge. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. The day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, 'Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law.'" We'll stop our reading there for today. Father, I thank you again for this book. Lord, we know that there's not a jot, there's not a tittle, there's not a question mark, there's not a comma in this whole book that's not there for a specific reason. Thank you for a perfect book for us to learn about a perfect Savior. Thank you, Lord, for the perfect work that Jesus did on the cross. Thank you for his perfect resurrection. Thank you, Lord, that in all of his life we see perfection. Not a thing in the law did he violate. No principles, no rules, no regulations, no part of the law was ever violated by him. And we thank you for a perfect Savior. Now, Father, we with our imperfect minds would like to study to show ourselves approved unto you, workmen that need not to be ashamed. And so we need your help, Lord. The Holy Spirit of God is mentioned here and how they wanted to follow his leadership. And so we want to do that today also. And so we beg you in Jesus' name for your help. May we, Lord, spend time where we need to spend time, and may we just Lord, not skim over and not look lightly at it because it's all important, but may we spend time where it would be best served and best glorify you. And we'll praise you for each victory. Lord, I mentioned the building in Fort Collins today and all the things you did to bring us to that place. And Father, I rejoice in that. Even now, Lord, some years later, it's still fresh in my mind and heart, and my heart is still full. Knowing that you did for us, Lord, simple sinners, you did for us things that people said could not be done. And Lord, you did them, and we praise you. And now, Lord, we know that you can do the same thing for the wells. Lord, we see them as worthy. We see them as working. Lord, we see them even as their hearts are broken for the city of Washington, D.C., and the people on the Hill and the Marines that pass through. And so, Father, I pray that you'd meet needs for them today. And then for Brother Hayes and his injured back, and Lord, for the appointments coming up and the medications and the medical, services that he'll be receiving, we pray that you'd cause those to work right and guard and guide. And we'll thank you, Lord, for a good day here in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this portion of Scripture, I find the Bible says that those folk were tarrying. And, you know, sometimes when we're interrupted in our schedules and God says, no, I just want you to tarry for a little bit. I want you to wait for a little bit. Don't you know the children of Israel, when they were going around the city of Jericho and they're getting ready to blow the trumpets and so forth. Don't you know if they said anything, they weren't supposed to say anything as they were traveling around. But when they got back to the campfires and the tents that night, don't you imagine some of them probably said, I can't understand all this waiting around. I can't understand what we're doing. I don't know how this can glorify God. But here we find the Bible says that Paul and Luke and the others that were with them, they tarried many days in the house of Philip. And they were waiting there, and while they were waiting, along came a fella by the name of Agabus. And the Bible says that he was a prophet. And as I studied through that, I began to wonder, you know, how did they know he's a prophet? And what is the job of a prophet? And some of those things crossed my mind, and so I began to wonder about those things. And I want to invite you to go back in your Bible to the book of Acts, in the book of Acts, to chapter number 11, chapter number 11, and we're going to begin in verse number 27. The Bible says, and in those days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus. There's the same fella. This is the first time we see him mentioned. He was named Agabus, and he signified by the Spirit. So now we find that here's a prophet. He's not called a prophet right here, but he is called a prophet in chapter number 21. And now we find that in his working, he's working with the Spirit of God. If we want God's best in our lives, we will work with the Spirit of God. We'll not shame him. We'll not quench him. We'll not hinder him or harm him or grieve him. And so the Bible says he signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, notice this, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. And so we find the Bible testifies that they could listen to him in verse number 11 of our text, because what he said before in prophecy had come to pass. Now take your Bible and go back to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 18. I'm not sure I wrote down the right verse. Yes, I did. Verse number 20. The Bible says, but the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is, the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. We find here a while back there was a message preached here about presumptuous sin. And we find that presumption can get you in trouble. Well, here we find that Agabus, in this time when they were waiting, and I'm sure they were enjoying the fellowship and one thing and another, and maybe some of them said, what are we sitting here for? If we're going to go, let's go. If we're going to return, let's return. What are we doing here? But in that time came this prophet. And he had proved himself to be a prophet. And so the Bible testifies that when he came, he says to them, and in verse number 11, he takes Paul's girdle and he binds his hands and his feet and he says, thus saith the Holy Ghost. Again, one of the signs of a prophet is that he's going to speak using the power of the Holy Ghost of God. So he speaks saying, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Drop over, if you will, to verse number 33 of chapter 21. The Bible says of the Apostle Paul, when the soldiers showed up, the religious people quit beating him. In verse number 32, 33 says, then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. And some cried one thing and some another among the multitude. When he could not know the certainty of the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. And when he came upon the stairs, so it was that he was bore of the soldiers for the violence of the people. So here we find that what Agabus said came to pass exactly. Now, there's a lot of renegade so-called prophets running around today. First off, if a man called himself a prophet, I would probably doubt everything that he said. I think he's speaking presumptuously. But we have the Word of God today. It's been fulfilled. It's completed, And it is being fulfilled, and much of it has been fulfilled. We don't need prophets today like they did then when they didn't have the completed Word of God. But in the coming of these prophets, a lot of things that they talk about. One of them is there's someone always coming on the radio around here speaking of the second coming of Christ and setting dates and one thing and another. We know he's coming now because the tick back in Deuteronomy kissed the princess in the book of 1 Jude, and which there isn't any. And just on and on and on, they have this circular reasoning that has all kinds of holes in it. And they have nothing to do with the Holy Ghost of God. And we get ourselves in a bind when we get all caught up with them. We need to find out if the message meets the Word of God. If the message doesn't meet the Word of God, it needs to be cast away. Now, is Jesus coming? Yes, he is. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Jesus Christ is coming again. But Jesus said, No man knoweth the day nor the hour. I believe that Jesus himself didn't know the day nor the hour, for he said his Father had reserved that for himself. Jesus had chosen not to know when Jesus was coming again. But he is coming again. And we need to rejoice in that. We need to behave ourselves knowing that he is coming again. And the Bible says in verse number 12 that when we, that's Luke and Paul and the ones that were with them, when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go. And so now they're talking to the Apostle Paul. They say, listen, you know what the man said. You're going to be in trouble. You're going to be turned over to the Gentiles, and they're going to treat you badly. And you need to understand not to go. And Paul says in verse number 13, Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and break mine heart? Does it break your heart when people try to talk you out of doing what God wants you to do? Maybe it's not plain enough. Maybe you're not speaking plain enough to people about what God wants you to do for them to try to stop you from doing what God wants you to do. Maybe you don't know what God wants you to do. Could I, somewhere or another, enlighten you with this thought? God has a plan for your life. I know that because you're still here. And if God didn't have something he wanted you to do, he would have taken you to glory the moment you got saved. And that something that God wants you to do is exciting. It's thrilling. It's wonderful. It'll get you excited more than anything you've ever done. Just to know you're doing what God wants you to do, the way God wants you to do it, it's an exciting thing. And so the Apostle Paul, they tried to talk him out of this, and he said, what mean you to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. What are you willing to do for Jesus' sake? What are you willing to do for Jesus' sake. Most of us will never have to die for the Lord Jesus, assuming things don't pick up speed here pretty quick. Some of our children or grandchildren, it could very well be that they would have to die for Jesus, name the name of Jesus, and be taken out of this world, their life given for that. Pardon me, but right now we might have a door slammed in our face, have somebody curse us or maybe even slap us or something. I don't know what might take place today, but here the Apostle Paul said, I'm willing to die for the name of the Lord Jesus. And after verse number 14, and when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, the will of the Lord be done. And that's what we ought to say in every instance, in every situation. We ought to say, the will of the Lord be done. That would make us a little bit more like Jesus, because isn't that what he said? He said, I have a druther. He said, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And so we're always better off when we follow the will of God for our life. But we have to know it to follow it. And just to go through life from one closed door to another closed door, kind of like you're bouncing down a hall looking for an open door, what a hectic way to live when the Bible says he wants to lead us. He wants to take care of us and excite us about the things of the Lord. And so here the Bible says, the will of the Lord be done. And so for today's services, that's my prayer. The will of the Lord be done. Father, thank you for that possibility. Help us now to do our part so that you can do yours. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you this morning.